everybody, welcome to Pub Table Racers. Today is Tuesday, September 21st.
Tuesday.
Wow.
That's better. Sense.
And Tuesday is always Pub Table Racer Day. My name is Tim Pack, and sitting next to me is the one, the only, thank goodness, God bless,
Warren Brosell.
Thank you. I didn't even have the cue card for you here today.
I thought I was waiting for more. You're pumping your.
I mean, it's good. I could be, what do you call it, a vibe person, whatever it is?
Yeah.
That's good. So, Kim's staring at us. What's up, business manager? No, if you want to get the vodka, go ahead. The bar's open here as usual. And now they're out of crowd.
Why did you whisper?
What did you whisper? Wait,
someone's going to hear you? My wife wants to get the vodka.
Well, she's Russian. All right. Warren, why do we have a vodka?
You never took her to the store.
I did, matter of fact.
She's not Russian.
I know. All right. Why do we have a bucket of beer in front of us?
Well, we have a bucket of beer in front of us because this is Pub Table Racers. Yep. We'd like to sit around, drink beer, and talk about racing and talk to our guests who are involved in racing.
Exactly. So this is not a picture of Kool-Aid Racers, so cheers.
Right.
To and we drink Miller High Life because of our one and only good friend, Bobby Elson. All right,
cheers.
Tonight's show.
Cheers.
I did cheers. Oh, shit. Storm.
Plus, we'd have to yell that, hey, Kool-Aid thing.
And then he busts through the wall. Yeah. We have to clean up every week.
Fix everything.
Okay, good. And we're off. Great show tonight. I am really looking forward to this. We're coming to you live from the Rapid Removal Studios. There you go, Darren Russell. We mean the studio. All this greatness, wonderfulness for in your honor.
For Rapid Removal.
Rapid Removal. Also like to thank, behind you, RacingJunk.com. Buy, sell, trade. They got it all. Anything with wheels or involved with wheels, go check them out.
Skis.
They have it all. Skis.
Yeah, snowmobiles.
Oh,
they got everything. ATVs.
Oh, they
you name it.
Boats. Clothing. Whatever. It's all on there. Very good. Also, rapid removal. Check out Darren. He's got this incredible business. He brings a 20-yard container.
Yeah.
You know, soft tire.
You got to clean a house out or you got to clean
relatives out or whatever. He's your guy. He says he's been busy.
He's slammed.
He's slammed. And I said, because of us? And he just goes, I'll just say I'm busy. I'm like, okay, we'll make you busier. The Garage Shop, check out the YouTube channel there. A lot of great new content's gone up. That's the good news is the bad news. You have to see me there as well, but that's okay. Cool stuff coming up with that. Website's coming out. Might even venture in the merchandise tag a little bit there. A lot of great videos. Check them all out. The latest one is we unpacked Darrell Waltrip's old truck.
Yeah.
Which was used by Bud Moore to haul Dale Earnhardt and around in the number 15 back in the day. So there's all kinds of cool stuff in there.
Nice.
And we unearthed it and it was like, phew, look at this stuff. Darrell didn't know it was
in. And that's on YouTube?
That is on YouTube. It's called The Garage Shop.
The Garage Shop.
Speaking of YouTube, we have a YouTube channel. It's called
Pub Table Racers.
We have a Twitter page. We have a Instagram. We have TikTok. And also on our website called
PubTableRacers.com.
Are you getting it, folks, here? We have merchandise. These are just not table props. You can own one. And now with winter coming up, you're going to need a hat to keep warm, right?
Yep. My wife was at bowling in Mooresville.
Really?
And there was a person in there with one of our shirts on.
Really?
And she didn't know who it was.
Did she chase it out? Go, hey.
I was going to ask.
I know the guy that does it.
She would have been embarrassed.
Really?
We would have. We'll find out who that is. How they got that shirt.
We would have gone and taken a picture with him.
Right.
Look at we sold the shirt. Because months ago, we sold them. But yeah, go check them out. And these tumblers, oh yeah, with wintertime coming, you want to put your hot chocolate or your special coffee in there or your toddy. Keeps it cold or warm for a long time.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need. You put whatever you want there. Just get one. We'll ship it right to you. All right. Tonight, we have a great guest tonight. Jason Trincheri. Is that right?
Yeah.
Perfect. He is the crew chief for AJ Allmendinger in the NASCAR Xfinity Series at Colleague Racing, fresh off their awesome win at Bristol and the clinching of the regular season championship. We'll have him on. But right now, let's talk about the truck race. Let's talk about truck race, cup race, then we'll bring Jason.
Yes, absolutely.
Because what better guy to have on
than a winner?
With AJ Slideways calling.
Yes.
Slidedinger. Truck race. What did you think of that one?
I completely missed it.
Okay, I loved it. It was great. The kid that Chandler Smith that won it. He had it. The only way he could get into the playoffs was to win. He was running third. The guys up front got together. And there were some red flags, maybe a couple too many, but the action was all night long. And people that really needed to get in, and they did. And it was his very first win at Bristol. And he moves on to the next round of the playoffs.
It seemed like whatever they did to the track with the PJ1, it worked really well for
Thursday.
Thursday and Friday.
And Friday.
I don't know that it changed our race that much.
I heard they didn't put it down on Saturday.
They should have reapplied it, I think.
Well, I think they need to use the resin. See, the PGA 1 LC7, Lean Choice 7, it's good for per event, but the resin gets in there and it starts moving around, so it widens it out and drives, can drive more of it. That's just my two cents. I don't know much about running a racetrack or stuff like that, but.
Did you guys ever use that?
PGA 1, heck yeah, we use it. Okay. At Lancaster Speedway, we'd do practice, or we put it up in the, like, we'd move around, like, it'd be like the high side of the low lane, and the inside of the high side, or sometimes we did the high side, but it worked.
Okay.
It was good. We only did it in the turns and never in the straightaways. So the truck race was good. Stuart Friesen moves on. Andy Jankowiak was in the ARCA race earlier that night. Started like 18th, 19th, and got up into the top 10, and someone decided he didn't want him in the top 10 anymore and got him and spun him, but wrecked his car, but he knocked him out of the race. But great showing for a kid that hauled down an enclosed trailer.
And that was not a cutoff race, right?
No, it was not. Okay. Not for ARCA. They didn't have that. But it was one for the trucks.
Well, oh, was it for
the trucks? Okay. Yeah.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah. Stuart Friesen goes on. There you go. Oh, real quick, happy birthday to Richard Childress. We both work for him.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Richard. And also to a fan favorite of ours and former guest, Mike Wallace, his wife, Carla. It's her birthday as well, so happy birthday to you, Carla.
Happy birthday, Carla.
And if it's your birthday to you, happy birthday to you. So you want to talk about the cup race?
Sure.
I thought it had some moments, but the thing I liked about it, there was races within the race. So first and second was battling. 8th and 9th was battling, 14th and 15th was battling.
Yeah, it seemed like track position was key, mm-hmm. obviously.
Right.
It was a lot of old Bristol, I thought.
Sure.
I think it would have been better with the...
Little stick'em?
The stick'em.
Little PJ1 down yeah. there, yep.
But yeah, all in all, thought it was pretty decent. The ending was...
Bristol. Yep.
I mean...
You got first and second battling it out. And
drivers don't fight no more, you know. Drivers don't fight.
Yeah,
you got two extremely wealthy people with probably, you know,
yeah,
who knows how much money in dental work. They're not going to fight, you know. And that's just
all right. So let's talk. So at the end,
you know, the crews aren't allowed to fight anymore. The crews are
right.
There's big fines right, if you're a crew guy and you decide right, you're going to fight.
Larson wins. Congratulations.
Yes.
Did the movie, had to move, get around Harvick. Harvick got caught up with Chase Elliott. They had problems earlier. They got into each other. At the end, he says, "You cost me the race." And I'm like, you could have gone low, whatever. But, and I found
there's a lot of things they both could have done different.
But I found the high side seemed to be working and the low side. Some guys liked the high side, some like low. But the problem was lap traffic didn't know where to go because not everybody was running the same line.
Yeah.
Daytona,
if I'm Harvick, when he comes back out and parks in front, I wreck him again.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know what he was waiting for.
Right. So at the end, here we go.
I'm like, wreck him.
Harvick comes right up behind him. They park and you go. And both their window nets are down.
Yeah.
Belts are off. They're ready to go. Chase Elliott gets out with no helmet. Harvick gets out with his helmet and his glasses
He's
on.
He's smarter.
Right. He gets out. But the whole thing was he went right after Chase Elliott. He put his hand out like, "Hey, don't. You're not doing this to me." So they jawed each other, and then Josh Jones comes in, the business manager for Harvick, and he's in there jawing.
I didn't quite understand that.
And he's jawing away, and I'm like, okay, you're the business manager?
Yeah.
But business manager, not on track manager.
Driving the car.
And I'm like, okay, whatever, Josh, you're in there. I get being there, being present, in case protecting his driver, friend.
There was a big, ginormous guy with a Stuart Haas shirt on standing right there.
Close
Josh Jones don't need to be there.
So I like the
that's
part.
Between, see, that's what I don't like about that whole situation. Right. That's between Kevin and Chase.
Right.
And if everybody stays out of it,
right.
you know, it turns into a fight like sure. Jeff Burton and right. Jeff Gordon at Texas Motor sure. Speedway, where it looks like 2 6-year-olds, you know, trying to fight over crayons.
Yeah. But he's not going to fight him with his helmet on because that's just dumb. Anyhow, but the thing was, I like when first Harvick goes like that to Josh, and Chase Elliott goes like that to Josh, and they're that. Okay, so they do that. They go away. They leave, you know, they're a little pushing and shoving, but
right.
NASCAR officials, they're like, okay, let it happen. Let them talk. And they knew they were just going to talk, so it was cool. They, like, let them, they didn't try to separate them. Then they leave. They go on. They try to talk again. Josh is in there going, oh, come on. This BS. But, and Jordan Bianchi from the Athletic is standing there. In the blue, he was the guy in the blue against the pit box with his cell phone recording it. Harvick goes over and says something to him. Bad news, Kevin. That guy has fully hard card, gave him absolute license to be standing there filming what was going, recording what was going on between those two because he is an accredited member of the media. So they finally left him. Then they go to between the haulers. Then they finally go into the Napa hauler. Then they go in the Napa hauler. And I'm like, all right, Kevin, you're going in there. So whatever they did, great. Go argue all night long. If you want to fight it out, great.
We knew they weren't going to fight.
The best part, Harvick, when he slams his helmet and then he looks around, he had that look from 2001 again. I was like, ooh, I remember that look. But he had that look like, and what did Chase Elliott said, quote, I know he's been doing this for a long time, but I don't care. I'm going to stick up for myself and my team. That's it.
I get that.
Okay.
If I'm Harvick, I wreck him again.
We'll see what happens there.
He won't.
All right. So that's it for the cup. Four guys are out. And so we move on off to Vegas.
Okay.
If anybody's in Vegas and you come upon a well-lit L-shaped bar between three and four in the infield with some cutout, you can get your pictures taken with a driver and a Vegas showgirl type thing. That's my brother. Say hi to Jim. Jello shots galore.
Get ready to drink.
Get ready to drink. Let's talk about the Xfinity race.
Let's bring our guest.
Perfect. We said, okay, good. Our guest tonight is Jason Trincheri. He is from Easton, Pennsylvania. He's a former modified driver himself. He graduated high school the year I moved down here in 2000, which is great. Came down here, worked at DEI, also CJ Motorsports, and he's now the crew chief at Colic Racing for AJ Allmendinger, and they're fresh off their win, the Xfinity race win on Friday night where they came across sideways, and they also earned the regular season championship. So first of all, thanks for being on, and if you want to grab a beer, we'll congratulate you on that.
Yep, have a beer.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, thanks for being on. We appreciate it.
Thanks for being had.
Cheers. All right, so let's talk about the race first, then we'll get all about you. Warren, show your sword.
No, that's Jason's. Jason needed a prop.
That's it. So that's what you got for winning.
That's what you win. One of the things you win when you win that race. So
sometimes you need that to get out of Bristol.
That's true. I mean, Kevin might have, I don't know.
All right. Oh, I got to say some hi's real quick to my mom, Diana, Karen, hello.
Say hi.
Tom Beatty, number one fan. Who's Carl?
My dad.
All right. Hello, Dad. And Steph, Kevin Hicks. Hey. Who else we got? Darnell. Hey, Darnell. What's up?
That's nice. Your dad watches. Is your dad a big fan of yours?
He's a big supporter.
Does he like this stuff?
He does. He does.
That's cool.
He's the one that got me into racing. So.
All right.
Tom Beatty says our number one fan. He says, "Oh my God, there's a Penn State Nittany Lion in the pub." College graduate in engineering.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Yep. I went to college. Warren, did you try it?
I went one night and I helped the hockey players at. At University of Madison mixed the Wapatui with their
and thus he considered himself graduated. All right, so let's talk about Friday night. I mean, what the heck? I mean, that was an action packed race.
It was pretty wild, to be honest. At the end of it, I didn't know how to react. I mean, it's not too often that you wreck and win at the same time.
Let's go back. So you're running fourth on the restart.
We were fourth. So. Before the restart, the yellow came out because Justin Allgaier got into his teammate.
Yes.
Yeah.
His teammate was running second. Justin was third.
Yes.
So that put us third on the restart.
Right.
And at the choose, the 22 and the 7 picked the outside.
Okay.
So AJ's going to go for the bottom. Right. Got to go for the front row.
Get the position right.
So, again, when you went back to the truck race, too, we talked about it earlier in the day that, you know, if you're in that position, you're going to want the bottom.
Right.
Even if the outside's faster on the launch, you don't want to get used up. And he had the inside to start. I wouldn't say that the plan was to use the 22 up, but they got together. I mean, that was more of a racing thing that they you know, they did rub. And he got down into the turn, coming off a 4 when they got together.
Yeah.
And the 7 got by him.
Right.
And the 7 did the same thing. He sailed it in the 1 and ran up into the 22 also.
So you're on the pit box, and all of a sudden you see, oh, we had the lead. We lost the lead.
So we were on the backstretch, and I seen him clear them off of 2, and it was just like, oh, like, you were waiting for turn 3. Because you knew that.
Bristol.
Yeah.
Bristol, baby.
You weren't too excited yet, I should say.
Right.
And AJ tried to get into 3 harder just to make sure he didn't get hit getting into the corner.
Right.
But he shoved up because our car was tight the whole time.
Okay.
The 22 actually got a better run, and he ended up driving into our left rear because he was trying to get the momentum off the corner also. When they got together, I seen them slide, but between the haulers, I couldn't see the line. So that's the other thing. You're on top of the pit box. You're looking over.
Right.
So you're not watching a TV, and there's a canopy, so you don't see the big screen.
Okay, that's right.
So, like, I had no idea. I was probably the last one in the building to know that.
Well, what's the crew jumping up right now?
So, but then you start thinking, you know, talking to him, and the spotter was asking me he's okay, and...
Well, so now then you don't know that your car is getting pulverized.
Yeah, well, I seen him get hit a couple times, and he took the biggest shot from our team car, the 11.
I saw that. I didn't want to bring that up, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. Someone order a T-bone?
Yeah. So you just, honestly, I was more worried that he was all right first.
Okay.
It didn't even cross my mind that we won. And then after he got out and stood up, it was like, all right, now what do we do? Because it was kind of weird, like...
Yeah,
car destroyed.
Yeah.
Do you go to Victory Lane?
He had to go to Enfield Care Center.
Yeah, he had to go to Enfield Care Center because he didn't bring the car around per the rules. So, yeah, that was weird. So he went to Enfield Care, but he got up on the car and did his thing. The car went crazy, et cetera, et cetera. But he wasn't able to be interviewed until he got out of the medical center.
Right.
And didn't TV go off the air then? Or
no, I watched it.
Oh, they're still on? Still, okay.
They still had that. Okay. They took the car back to the tech area. They didn't even take it to Victory.
Well, how do you inspect that?
There was some stuff they still wanted off of, believe it or not.
Really?
We want that decal in the mirror. That's what we want to check those out,
I think...
like the jerk leaving that house, right? There's paddleball game.
And this lamp.
And his chair.
When I walked up to the car, Eric, the head official... He said, I want the right front shock, the right rear shock, and he kind of bent down and goes, if the gear's still under there, I want to look at that too.
Okay.
So, I mean, the thing's on the ground, tires are all flat, there's oil leaking out from underneath it, so you're just kind of like...
And you had to pull the gear.
Yeah.
Nice. Thanks. Elizabeth Walsh says hello. Mike Gio says hi. Brandon Bumgarner says hi.
Family and friends.
There you go. Hey, that's it.
That's why you're here.
Hey, man, we like you, but we need viewers. And by the way, did we mention these are for sale on our website, pubtableracers.com?
So real quick, you know, this year has been pretty phenomenal for you and winning the regular point season's championship. And, you know, first of all, I'm happy for you because we've known each other for a while. I think it's great. What do you think? I mean, AJ is all of a sudden a short track slash. He can drive. He's been driving everywhere really well.
He's the Almendinger now. Right?
Yeah.
He's almost slid by there.
I mean, I think a lot of it is just it's racing situational. And I think right now, college cars are at the best they've been. And that little break, in the, I guess you could say, in his career has made him enjoy and he's taken advantage of this opportunity. So whether it's a road course, a short track, or the speedways. I mean, the speedways are, it's crazy to watch the three cars work together.
You guys do a phenomenal job at that. I was so impressed. How, you know, it reminds me of, and I said this, we talked about it on our show. I said, that reminds me of the old days when Michael Waltrip and Dale Jr. would just say, okay, it's your turn, and I'll just hang out here, and who's ever leading at the end gets the win. We are not going to wreck each other. We're not going to catch each other on fire. And, you know, you guys got a plan, and it works really well. And that's very commendable for all the drivers.
Yeah, and to get all three teams the way that they work together, it's... Even though you know what we're going to do, but when you see it actually happen, it's still even amazing. Like, you're sitting there watching, you're like, wow, it worked again.
You guys are, it's working. All right, let's talk about, so winning the regular season championship, that had to be like, you guys are hunting trophies. Well, all of a sudden, oh, here's a really big trophy, and here's another big one for winning the race and the regular season championship.
Yeah, and the bonus point swing too was 10 points because of winning the race. We got 5 and then we gained 5 more on top of the regular season championship. I mean, that's to start the year, you want to set goals, you want to win races, or I should say, you want to get top fives and win races. And then that's one of your goals, is to win a regular season championship.
Yeah.
To actually do it and accomplish it. And it's
good job.
It's awesome to check it off. And, you know, now with this week going to Vegas, it's all right, we got to focus on the next one.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was great, but here comes the next race.
Right. Yeah.
So AJ, he was pretty much like going towards retirement. I want to be a broadcaster. What do you think swayed him to like, okay, let's do this full time? Because he saw the success?
With the Chris Rice talked him into running part-time 2 years ago.
Right.
And he wanted to give him the opportunity to run the road courses, which everybody knew he was going to be good at. But the deal he made with them is, if you're going to run the road courses, I need you to help us on speedways. Just for the fact of having the cars
together. Having an extra car. Right. Yeah.
So they had success doing that. And last year, I think it was only supposed to be 6 or 8 races. And then they kept adding more. And it ended up being like 12.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the decision to go full time, just because they were having success and the car was running good.
Good. Good deal.
So what's he like to work with? You've got it well enough. Yeah, I was waiting for that laugh.
He's fiery.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. In the middle of the race, he turns it up a little bit. And if it's not going our way, even when it is going our way, he gets a little
hard on you?
Yeah, a little bit. But I mean,
that's okay.
Yeah, I feel I'm kind of the calming voice on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Just let him get it out. That's fine. You know, you can be fiery. That's kind of how Kevin Harvick and Roddy Childers are. I mean, there's a lot of guys that you listen on the radio, and Todd and
I always say it like this. And you drove. You drove, so you know.
Okay. Yeah, we're good.
Well,
yeah.
I'm saying the adrenaline that because you're driving that car,
right,
and the adrenaline that I think that makes you even more fiery. You know, that makes you even more, because your heart's racing fast and you got a lot of shit going on.
Well, they've done the BPSs on guys. Yeah.
So, yeah, them guys all get fired up. You don't hardly hear any of them say, yeah, everything's going to be fine.
But, you know, your demeanor, and did you work with him before at all? Or you just kind of got thrown together and said, okay, let's make it work? And
just so last year with COVID and everything, I was Justin Haley's race engineer. The engineers were only ones allowed to go to the simulators.
Okay.
So we still got to work with the drivers. And even though we didn't have practice, I got to, you know, work with them then. So that kind of helped going into this year. At least it wasn't totally foreign. We just, you know, kind of worked together a little bit in that sense. It's running all the simulations when you go to either Chevrolet or anything like that. It's kind of like practice itself. So you got to work with them then. And going into the races, it was just kind of like, all right, you know, it only took a race or two to learn what he was going to be like.
Right.
So.
Dan Lynch goes, to-go beers for sale on your website? Hell yeah. I said, yeah, Dan, you're right. To-go beers, if you buy merchandise, Dan, we will tell you where to go for beer. How's that?
You can come here for beer anytime you want, Dan.
Tuesday.
Open invitation.
I think you get the point that we have like a little bleacher thing going on.
Yeah. Fire gas, maybe.
Fire gas, you know.
Just as long as you don't throw stuff at it. Otherwise, I put chicken wire up like the Blues Brothers, right?
Oh my God, could you imagine?
So, you know, Jason, I always like to say this sport can be very, very humbling, right? So you're at Penske with me. I'm gonna say it like this. I was actually at Penske with you because you were there before me, and we were there together. And unfortunate circumstances, you had to leave.
Numbers game,
right? Yeah. I mean, we all know that stuff's coming again. And you know, lo and behold, you changed. First of all, you changed your career.
Yeah.
And went back to something you loved. I could tell. And you end up at Colic, and lo and behold, and we all talked about this, and it's all good. There's a lot of people at Penske that talked to me today about this, and it's all good.
Yeah.
That how happy we are for you because you're so successful.
I feel I left on, it wasn't technically my terms, but I left on good terms with everybody. I made a lot of good friends in the 7 years that I worked at Penske, and you know, there's almost 400 people that work there.
Yeah.
You can make a lot of good friends.
You can. It's easy.
I'm kidding.
I only have like $3.99.
Well, you're getting better. So what is it that makes you, I want to say, as a crew chief, what made them take you from engineer to crew chief? Because they had to see something. You know, it's not like, oh, who do we have? That's something you just don't get.
Right.
You earn that. You know what I mean?
I feel a lot of it, like, I said it was a lifetime of work for a lifetime opportunity.
There you go.
I like that.
Wow.
I started my career as a driver.
Oh, really? Go ahead, sorry. I stole Ryan from you.
Wind tunnel.
Go ahead.
Lifetime in a wind tunnel.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. So you was a lifetime. Go ahead.
Just everything from the time I guess you could say, as I was 6 years old, all the way up to getting to be a crew chief. Yep. I've been around race cars my entire life, so.
Okay. So let's go back. So Eastern Pennsylvania, where did your interest in racing start?
My dad owned a car. He drove up until the time I was born. Okay. And then when I was born, he became a car owner. He stopped driving, owned mm-hmm. cars. So from the time I was a baby on up, there was always a race car in the garage.
Yep. Know the feeling?
Mostly modifieds, dirt modifieds, and asphalt modifieds. I'd go to the track and watch as much as I could for when I was younger. When I was 13, I got into go-kart racing. And
real quick, what was your dad's background? What did he do for a living?
He was an auto mechanic.
Okay.
Yeah. So we kind of, while I was even in high school, I took machining as a background.
Okay,
so
yeah.
He knew how to weld. I learned how to.
So you learned how to weld. You learned how to machine. Yeah. Okay.
So that was one thing my dad didn't know how to do. Was if I
good engineer right here, folks.
If my
any engineer that can weld has gotten really high up in my.
Oh, so you do like engineering?
Absolutely.
I was wondering.
Okay. I'm sorry about the little interruption there. I like that.
My dad had a good point. Was that he didn't know how to run a lathe, and if we ever got a lathe or a mill, I could teach him how to do that. He already knew how to work on cars, so a lot of our race cars were mostly homemade, and we made our own parts and things like that to save money. I mean, it was a lot back then, you know, homemade go-karts and
good. So you didn't just like sell me this and jump in,
right?
You built what you were racing.
Yeah,
right.
Very good. Teeny Accountable says, yeah, dirt. Jody Brown, love the show. Mike Gio, who's he?
My brother-in-law.
He said he had a great pick group.
Yeah, he was.
I'm gonna guess that Mike was on the pick group. There you go. Don't break your arm there, Mike. We got it. All right, so you're doing that, and so you're working on cars, and you're learning.
Racing those cars. Questions.
You're in high school. Your friends are doing all this other stuff, and other people are like, "What do you mean you're going racing?" Because we were a very small niche.
Yeah.
You know, I said, "You go to the track. Why don't you come to the league? Why don't you?" Sorry, that's what we do.
Yeah.
But so did you get that?
I didn't go to my prom. I went racing, you know. I can remember taking my.
I should have gone racing. Go
ahead. I remember taking my SATs on a Saturday morning, and my dad picking me up in the parking lot.
With the car?
With the
race. So you could go racing.
So the teacher's going, oh, that's a waste of time.
They'll never make it.
They'll never make it.
They'll never be the regular season champion.
We'll never win races at Bristol.
We get off. Teachers are.
But so it just amazes me because we didn't even know then, but we knew what we were doing, but what we wanted to do. And then, you know, you go back for your reunions as you get older, you'll have those. And you go back and they're like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
And you're like, not the cool kid in the class, but. You know,
now.
The former quarterbacks, you know, fat and bald over there, right. And you're like, oh, dude, a Daytona 500. I was able to wear a few things I found in it, you know.
That's like the Super Bowl of NASCAR.
And it's like this one, I got another one.
I did go to my 10-year wearing my Daytona 500.
Oh, nice.
That's right, why not? You are that SOB, right? And if the girls are turning on, going, yeah, I got to go be on TV and do race car stuff this year. We kid, but anyhow. So you reached, who'd you win the 500?
Jamie
McMurray and
Joey Logano.
Oh, so he has two.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And now I have three Indy rings too, because.
Jeez. Wow. That's good. Damn. Impressed the 56-year-old. Way to go. Nice.
So I was actually at Ganassi the year that they won the Indy 500.
The triple.
The triple.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was at Penske. They won the triple.
Right.
So you're kind of. So you got
I was one
colleague?
Of three people that
you got a colleague. You're not even a cup. You won a cup race.
Yep.
You're like the good luck charm guy.
A little bit.
You're going to Vegas this week, right?
We are.
I'm going to give you 20 for the roulette table. Excuse me. All right. So you go through this. You're doing all that. And now you started driving somewhere.
So I started driving go-karts when I was 13 and did that for about 2 years and then got into, they were called DA modifieds back then when the dirt series used to run, Nazareth, Thompson, Oswego.
Right.
When they stopped running them, they went to Flemington and Flemington ran them for a bunch of years. Well, when Flemington dropped them to go to the regular tour modifieds, Mahoning Valley picked them up as a support division.
Okay.
So I got into those when I was 15 before I even had my driver's license.
Okay.
How tall are you?
I was about the same size I am now.
6'2". Okay.
Wow. So I outgrew go-karts. That's why I had to move up.
You know, my wheels are turning right. Okay, 13. Let's see, I'm 4'7".
You could still get a
go-kart. Yeah, yeah. I gotta move the pedals forward.
I look like an elf on a roller skate if I got one of those things. I kept kidding.
No, that's true. Right, so the steering wheel just hits.
So you did the go-karts, now you're into the sports winter modifies, and you're racing at various tracks.
Yeah, and I had success in go-karts in like 2 years. I won 3 championships and about 30 races.
Nice.
So then moving into the DA cars, it took about 2 years. I got close, and then on the third year, I won 3 races in a season. So it was kind of like a learning curve, so just learning the car. And
you've been successful pretty much.
Pretty much, okay. Yeah.
That's great. No, that's good. I mean, cheers to that. I'll even have another beer to that. I was going to have one anyhow, and now I have any reason to have one. All right, so then you're doing this, and at what point does all of a sudden, oh, by the way, to my friends in Western New York, he has raced at Wyoming County International Speedway. I know Cousin Jim doesn't watch, but just so you know, Cousin Jim, he raced at your track. And now he's a winning crew chief. When did you all of a sudden go, hey, I think I need to make the move down south? How did that come about?
College.
So, yeah, I went to college.
Were you a fraternity?
No.
Okay.
I started off at a community college just to get my electives out of the way.
Yeah, good.
And plus then, I could still live at home and still go racing. I went to a Penn State satellite school in Harrisburg. It's like kind of one of the main, it's the second largest school to main campus.
Okay.
I went to the State Penn. So anyways, what did you take? I want to know
mechanical engineering.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because I knew I wanted to get into that. And honestly, if I didn't get a job in racing, I'd have a good job somewhere.
Absolutely.
So that was kind of my fallback.
We have a question. Tina, Wyoming County, was dirt or asphalt?
It was asphalt.
Asphalt. There you go. Yeah. Good question, Tina. Miss Genesee Speedway.
And I still raced up until college and then started running part-time kind of in college. And we started traveling around a lot more, and that's when we started going to New York, going to different tracks. Just trying to get out and run as many tracks as we could.
Yeah, that's how you learn.
I finished college in 2005 and moved down to North Carolina in September that year.
Okay, so did you have a job? Did you have
one of our standard questions.
Did you have a job? Did you just wing it up there?
I wasn't going to move here unless I had a job.
So when did you start networking to get that job?
So about during spring break, I came down and I started putting resumes in at places. And I kind of realized putting resumes in at cup shops, I probably wasn't going to hear anything.
So. Yeah, it's kind of a waste.
Yeah, so I started putting resumes in at truck teams while I was back home mailing them out. And at the time, Dave McCarty ran Spears Motorsport, a truck team, and he was from Pennsylvania.
Ah.
And it was actually his wife now, he was dating her, and she lived in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
What year is this?
This was 2005.
Okay.
So he was up visiting her.
We're at DEI.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
He was up visiting her, and I met him at the mall. I had my interview sitting on a park bench in the mall.
I had mine at RCR at Hooters. David Hart.
But at the time, actually, as I finished school in May, I was working as a process engineer at a non-woven company.
A what?
A non-woven company.
Okay.
The perforated stuff that's underneath a mattress or underneath your couch,
right?
That's a non-woven fabric.
Okay, it's blown. Awesome. Thank you. Okay,
It's blown.
Yep. Okay, got it.
So I
know a little bit about
working.
I know you do. And if I don't think so, you'll remind me.
I was working as a process engineer to replace a guy that was going to retire.
Okay.
And that whole industry is very secretive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so,
really?
Yeah, I didn't learn anything about it until I had the job.
Okay.
And then realized I kind of didn't want it. Is that when they put them tags on your mattress? You got their
tag on your mattress, police. Cut your tag, though.
Honestly, I didn't even come off.
So you got the job that you have, and you're like, I'm not digging this.
So after being in a warehouse with a machine that is, you know, like 1,000 degrees over the summer, I realized I didn't want to do
that. How long were you there for total?
3 months.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. So the guy had to delay his retirement.
Sorry, dude. Race cars.
Sorry, I'm out.
Race cars.
1,000 degrees in here.
So then you had a job coming down here. Your first job down here was with
Spears. Okay. Yep. And actually, my wife was my girlfriend at the time, Stacy. She came with me. she went around and looked at houses, and I went to a race, and we came back. She had a bunch of houses narrowed down, and we went and looked at one and put an offer in on it and bought a house. Like, pretty much we went home to pack up our last 2-3 weeks, moved down, had closing the next day, and moved into our house.
So she's your girlfriend at the time?
Yeah.
Supportive, she's in, she's behind you all the way.
Yeah.
All right, cheers. What's her name?
Cheers.
Stacy. We mean that because that is an awesome
yes, that support. Yes, women who do that are...
Yeah. We've all had that.
Her dad raced dirt late models, so...
Okay.
She's
I won't ask how you met. Racetrack.
No, actually in college.
Oh, in college?
Yeah.
Okay, so she went to college too. Okay,
good. She's got an engineering degree. We met in a class.
No kidding.
Really? Yeah. Do you talk setups at home?
When she doesn't work on a race team, does she?
She worked at Nitro for 7 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay,
well,
that's
with
good.
Danny.
Yeah. That was her first job when we moved down.
Okay, nice.
Nice. Okay, we got some comments here. Kevin Finney, did you ever work with other talented engineers? Ha-ha. I'm thinking Kevin's an engineer you work with. See, I'm pretty sure.
I was waiting for him to tell me his wife's a Hendrick engineer. You know, I was like, oh, really? Yeah. Is that why we won the regular season championship?
Let's see. Your dad says he's being modest. I forgot what year it was, but he completed every lap in DA. Yeah. The modifies there?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole little quarter-mile track, running 18 races a year. I completed every lap, so it was...
Right.
That was
Kevin Finney asked, is your dad your biggest fan?
Yeah.
Jody Bernhardt said he was on the road with you and Steve Park. I was on the road with Steve Park with him. Kevin Finney. Who's Kevin Finney? I don't know.
I worked with McNassie.
Got it. He said your wife's a better crew chief.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's in, she's supported. She's like, honey, whatever you gotta do, let's go. Let's go do it.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's awesome. So then the moving around.
So I was at Spears with the truck team. That year was, I finished 2005 the season with David Starr.
Okay.
And then he got let go at the end of that year, and Eric Amarola came in.
Oh yeah, there's a guy.
Yep. And worked with him. That was his first year. He was still a Gibbs development driver at the time. So we had him for a year. At the end of that year, he left, and Dennis Setzer came in.
Setzer, okay.
Yep. So I worked with him, and towards the end of that season, that was 2007, Spears was getting ready to close down, so they started randomly kind of laying people off, and I got let go from there.
That was a bad, you know, when you told me when you came down, that was like a bad, bad time.
Yeah.
That was, you know, that 2005 period to like 2010 was kind of like nasty.
2008 being the...
And I ended up going to CJM at the time was Jason Keller, and Todd Gordon was the crew chief.
Okay.
So that was the first time I got to work with Todd. And that was pretty much everybody that was from PPC, the old 10 ex-Bush team.
Oh, wow.
He was out of their shop. There was a lot of guys from that car. So
Kyle Kelly?
No,
he might have left already.
I don't think he was there. Big guy was the car chief.
Big guy? Yep.
So, I mean, it was a pretty good team for being a part-time team. I liked working there. It was just a couple months too. At the time I got let go from Spears, I was actually talking to DEI about getting hired.
Got it.
And they put a hold on hiring because they bought Ginn.
Because
they bought the Ginn.
Because the first merge.
The Ginn debacle.
Yeah.
Actually, that was. They said it was a merge. It wasn't a merge. We bought that out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually,
we merged because we bought you.
Right.
Go ahead,
we bought Mark Martin for a year.
Yeah.
Is what we did.
I was to the point where I only had to take my drug test, and then I got called and said, "We're not hiring anybody."
Really?
Yes, that's how close I was in those
steps. Jeez, really?
Yes.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Wow. See, people think, "Oh my God, what a great career this is."
Especially if you studied.
Anyhow, I'm not going to comment. My girlfriend can tell you about that. That's hilarious. So people think, oh, what a great career. You won everything. But you had your lumps.
You had a lot of struggles.
You had your lumps.
There were struggles,
You know, and you had to go home and say, hey, honey, guess what? I mean, I've been there. It's like, I got fired today. And you're, like, devastated. And then you thought you had a job.
Yeah,
then you didn't have a job. That's even worse.
So when I got let go, I kind of thought, well, it's not. I got the next deal already rolling.
Right.
And then they're like, we're not hiring. I'm like, oh, now what do I do?
Do you know who it is?
All right. So at that time too, CJM didn't have a full time sponsor. So they were only guaranteeing the first 10 races.
Okay. Well.
And that winter, DEI called me back and offered me a job. So I'm like, well, I think DEI will be around longer. I was wrong. CJM was around longer.
So do we.
Who hired you?
Dave Charpentier.
Great guy.
Great guy. Yeah.
Very good guy.
Navy guy. Submarine guy. I got some comments here. Richie Vanderpool. Hey, he says, hey, Jason, let's get the modified back out for a race.
He was there that day at Wyoming County.
Okay, good.
He helped us put the car back together.
Nice. You said it was one of your worst wrecks.
It was one of them.
Vince Fegley says, ask him about racing in New York and the there and home.
He was part of driving up the overnight.
Perfect. I'm missing a bunch here. Wendy Dorner Purcell. I think one of your biggest fans is Rich Purcell. He calls you the kid in the barn. Chris Moore says, congratulations, Jason. By the way, your birdhouse is ready. Won't even ask about that one. Hello, Maryland and Akron, New York.
Any of these inside jokes, you don't have to, a birdhouse means, we don't know what.
But I think it's a bird, like an actual bird.
Like a real one?
Yeah, a real one?
Maybe it's means something.
It's an actual one.
Okay, got it. He's got to twist things into something.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
got it.
Through the store, pineapples upside down in your cart, and that means something, I guess. Birdhouse, who knows what that means?
Dan Lynch. Thanks for saving us here.
Thanks for coming in today.
Dan, besides winning, thanks for coming. Dan Lynch says, besides winning races and championships, what was your personal biggest accomplishment you had at Penske?
Probably to start getting hired there. That was kind of hard.
A lot of people say that, yeah. Right.
Back then, it was hard enough to get in. I had a lot of big projects that. His grandfather clock sitting over here. I had a lot of work into the Martinsville car race that they used to run, and I took a lot of pride in that.
Good. For weight?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a project for nearly a year of redesigning a lightweight, low CG car.
Explain what that means.
Low center of gravity. Yeah. Just to get all the weight as low as you can, and on a cup car, and it turned out to be the lowest center of gravity car Penske ever built. So that was pretty cool.
Huh. That's really cool.
Leaving your mark is over. You left your mark in ways and Aero Fab and all stuff.
Yeah, done. And those cars were always really, really good.
I don't know. Jody's rambling. I don't know what he means by that. Sorry. And when you're doing all this engineering stuff, is there somewhere in the back of your mind you're like, you know, one day I'd really like to be a crew chief?
I would say that was my original goal coming down, but then I don't know, I guess back then I saw how hard it was on people and how hard it was on families, and I thought, you know, maybe that's not for me, and I was okay with that. So I came off, so to go back finishing where I got, I went from CJM to DEI as a race engineer, and then I made it through the merger from DEI to Ganassi, and I was a race engineer support engineer at Earnhardt Ganassi for a year.
And who are some of the drivers that you had that you worked with?
When I was at DEI, I worked with Jeffrey Earnhardt, Jesus Hernandez, and Trevor Bain on the East cars. I was their engineer for the East cars.
See, people forget about Trevor Bain, that he worked. He was at DEI,
right?
Yep.
And the East cars, and worked his way up the next year. Oh, he won a Daytona 500.
Yeah.
Now he owns a coffee company in Tennessee.
And he also mentioned Eric. Did you work with Eric while he was there?
I worked with Eric at DEI when he won the East race in the eight car.
Okay. Nice.
And then between all that, going through the merger when everything happened with Earnhardt Ganassi, I was just a support engineer to support the 42 and the 1. That was when Montoya was in the 42 and Truex was still in the 1.
Yeah, Truex.
I did that for about a year and then came off the road to be a design engineer. And for me, that was still satisfying because I was still giving input. And
being able to still design stuff?
Yeah.
Did you miss going on the track?
Not really. At that time, I was all right with it. And
your wife's like, oh, you're here again? Hey, great.
Did you have kids yet at that point?
We were just starting.
Then. Okay.
Yep. So up until that time, I was also racing myself.
By the way, I was racing too.
Yeah.
God. So it even never goes away. Yeah.
The year I spent at DEI, I went to 13 East races, like 12 East tests, and that's when it was still open testing.
Right.
Yeah.
The cup cars.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So I was the data guy on the 01 car and went to all those tests.
Right.
And then I ran 6 or 8 modified races myself.
Who ran the parts department at DEI?
I don't remember now.
I thought you'd be good friends with him.
I can see his face, but I can't remember his name now.
No, I joke because guys that race it where races go.
Stacy Dulo.
Do you got any?
There was a Stacy Dulo over there, and he literally fit that name.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was. No, I always joke about guys that race like a race team but don't travel on the weekend.
Right.
Hey, oh, look at the spindle. I'm just going to take this. I'm going to clean it up. I'll bring it back Monday or Tuesday. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just, never.
Right. It's kind of like the Johnny Cash song, Worked at the Factory. Mike Gio. He said, if anyone deserves all this, it's you. You have come so far and we are proud of all you have become. Keep up the good work. That's pretty good, little support.
Yeah, there. Nice.
That's awesome. KB Belmont. Jason's awesome. Look at that. Kevin Soulsby says, way to go, Jason.
He was a race engineer on the one.
Okay, you got some fans out here. Well, I can see you. You're a good guy. I just met you tonight. But okay,
so I remember Kevin now from DEI. Yep. He's doing something different, isn't he?
Looks at John Deere, I think, up in Greensboro.
There you go.
Okay.
Around that area.
Still motors and wheels. All right, so now you're – where did the cut of the colleague thing come about?
So with being a design engineer – from Earnhardt Ganassi, mm-hmm. led me into being a designer at Penske.
Yeah.
I was basically a designer for almost 10 years. With the new car, designers are going away. And right. at the time, Penske cut about half the engineers. So I kind of knew what was coming. There was a freeze on new parts. You weren't allowed to submit any new parts mm-hmm. for NASCAR. So again, kind of knew it was coming. I didn't know what was going to be next. At least having a design background, I thought if I got out of motorsports, there's designers in the industry.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that was kind of the mindset of doing that. When I got let go from Penske, I thought, well, if I find something, I find something out of racing. If I find something in racing, it'd probably be easier because of my background.
Right. And a lot of people get to that point, and they're like, geez, I'd really like to, but I kind of have to because this is going this way, and this is still going to be there.
Right. So I looked into both avenues, and I had job offers in both places. So
okay, nice. That's good.
Yeah, that was good. So from the whole family perspective, that was a little more comforting, right. You know. I got brought into colleague to be the race engineer for Justin Haley last year.
Okay.
And just
so
watching
just
them,
last year.
Yep. Yeah. Right. So just watching them from the outside, you know, even in 2019, they won two races in 2019. Going into 2019, the start. Going into Daytona, that company was around for almost 4 years and had one top five.
Mm-hmm.
So to see them get two wins in 1 year, you're like, well, it's a growing place, you know? Then last year, I mean, it was kind of able to build off that momentum. I learned a lot again because I haven't been around the setups part in a while. But I know all the parts and pieces because I designed them for 10 years.
Yeah.
So, I made this.
You know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Not like you don't know what you're looking at.
Not only do I know, I designed this.
Right.
So it helped in all aspects because, honestly, colleague was small enough. A lot of the people that worked there had only worked there. So to come in and bring a little outside influence helped. And were able to have the year they had last year where Justin made the final four. Mm-hmm. They had a bunch of wins, and then going into the off season, they talked about making a 16 car a full-time car. They didn't want to bring in a new crew chief from outside that said they wanted to change things. They wanted
they've already been building with them.
Yeah.
You were part of that building.
Right. So they offered me the promotion, and I felt like I couldn't turn it down. I mean, it's with having AJ, you have an established driver that's already going to know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
For me being a rookie crew chief, you're not on your own. You have two other teams to lean on. So, the way you see our cars work on the speedways is how we work in the shop.
That's awesome.
So,
how many ex-Penske employees you have? I know you have at least two. You have Clint.
Yep.
And you have Ethan.
Ethan, yep.
Is there...
And AJ.
And AJ. So
myself.
And yourself. So,
okay,
four out of the six guys on the 16 car
are... Ex-Penske guys.
So, irony of last week.
What is it about colleague? I mean, you know, Matt, he's out there. He's involved with charities. He's on television. He's not afraid. Chris Rice, they're putting themselves out there. They have a presence. Whereas most owners are coming on over here, general managers over here, but they put themselves out there, and they, through themselves, they are promoting the team. But the good part is, you can be out there doing a lot of this, But if you talk to them, you're like, well, you guys need to shut up and concentrate. They're doing this, and it seems like their notoriety and the team is going in the same direction.
The whole aspect when they brought AJ in was to have fun.
Okay.
And trophy hunting, yeah. Yep, and they back it up with having fun themselves. So, you know, we put in the work. I mean, it doesn't just come. I mean, I came from the shop to here.
Yeah.
I haven't been home yet.
Yeah.
Good life again.
He'll be home soon. He's only had this much beer. Don't worry. We're not going to throw him down the road.
You know, you're living by Rogers, saying effort equals results.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what is it about Matt Culley? What is it about him that just, he's been successful in business, philanthropy, he supports causes. What is it about him that, because he's the leader, what is it about him that trickles down that makes you guys so successful?
He wants to be successful himself no matter what he's doing, mm-hmm. and he wants to keep growing.
Okay.
He doesn't want to just be stale for a year or two. He wants, you know, if you're successful with this, you need to be successful with two cars.
Mm-hmm.
We were successful with two cars, now we have three cars.
Right.
Now, you know, started running part-time cup, and it's the, you know, success again, one again. So
yeah.
I mean, I think it's great because it's like, all right, at first, like, oh, that's cute. They had a 5-5. Oh, that's cute. They had a win. Now it's like, these guys were a force, and what was the last Daytona race?
It's the real deal.
Xfinity race, you guys were like
three wide.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Holy crap, one of these guys is going to win this thing. But I think it's great because there's a lot of teams that come and go again. But this team is going this way.
They've taken their time. They still have taken their time about it also, because mm-hmm. they started around 2016.
Right, they didn't rush.
And they slowly worked, and being on the campus of RCR, I mean, we're pretty small. There's about 30 people.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
For three cars. So 10 people per car at your shop.
Yeah.
Right.
So we get our chassis and bodies from RCR.
Yeah.
So they have the majority of the, you know, the heavy
of
fabric.
The heavy labor.
Yeah. And then we get the chassis, we do the finished fab, we assemble them, we set them up, we pull them down, we put our, you know, our touch on it, and it works. I mean,
well, Troy Phillips works there, and I had him on another podcast that he said, I just love it there. He's been through the ups and downs, and, you know, moved down here and stayed in a camper, and then another guy came in, he goes, well, I got room for one more in my camper, you know, now he's married with kids, but it's that commitment that you make. And he said, this is the best place I ever worked.
It's still
an example.
It still has the big team feel, but it's a small team. Mm. So it's still, you know.
You're not a number. You don't get lost.
But you've got a shop full of roofers.
Yeah.
Right? Do you ever hear me talk on this? When you guys get the car, everybody's got to do everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you only have 10 guys, there ain't a, all right, I'm going to put this right rear crush panel in, and I'm going to take a break and get a cup of coffee, and when I come back, I'll do the next right rear crush.
Check my social media and all
that. Yeah, it doesn't happen like that.
No.
Right. You're just working. Yeah.
No, there's a lot that goes into it, and I mean, even though, like last year, myself being an engineer, I mean, the engineers tonight were at Chevrolet with the simulator, with the drivers, so I mean, there's constantly moving pieces, even if you don't see it.
But everyone's dedicated. They're the ones that are just getting a paycheck.
Right, right.
Dedicated, passionate people. The toughest thing you've had about becoming a crew chief? Toughest aspect?
Learning to let a bad weekend go.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, you know, I can leave a race weekend and be like, I told myself all week I was going to do this, and I didn't do it. It didn't seem right at the time. And I would start feeling like by Tuesday or Wednesday, I'd still kind of have that feeling. And then it's like, let it go. Like,
it's over.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Do you golf?
I do.
Okay. I have seen AJ at the golf course. I don't know if you were with him that day, but, you know, it's a bad golf shot. You got to let it go.
Yeah.
And it's gone. That one's gone.
Well,
don't get the scuba gear out. Just let it go. You know, and that's because it's the same thing. You know,
for Bobby Allison, you can't undo it.
Yep. I've gotten better at it, I should say. But
well, that's
the start
good.
Of the season
it comes with time. I mean,
that was one thing.
You're a crew chief. You want to be great. You want to win all the time. But so what about dealing with managing people? That's something that is a big aspect because you have multiple personalities with all their days, bad days, their quirks, you know, and people that might have their own agendas versus the team agenda. How do you balance?
You always got that one guy that's full of drama.
It's
you don't have to mention his name. He might be listening.
It hasn't been too bad. Everybody's there pulling the rope in the same direction.
Good.
That helps because of how small the team is.
Sure.
Everybody knows what the goal is. You don't have to necessarily jump on somebody, you might have to every now and then be like, hey, like, yeah.
You got a minute?
Yeah.
Hey, can we talk?
So, I mean, it hasn't been too bad. I mean, honestly, even being a design engineer, I wasn't managing people, but I kind of was. Like, I'd go back to the chassis shop and say, hey, we got to change this. Mm-hmm. Well, that guy's probably having a bad day, and to get him to do what you need, you've got to know how to deal with him.
Hey, man, here's the word yes. We.
Yeah.
That I want, we need right. This. This is how it's going to benefit. This will be better. That you got to sell it sometimes. Yeah. You got it.
And then even when it worked out, then you kind of act surprised. Like, I kind of thought that would work out. That, like, yeah. You'd be like,
oh, it worked.
That number come out to this. You
good
know,
job like, on your part.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
plus, you've worked on them.
Yeah. Right. You've driven them.
You know what I mean? You've driven them. You've worked on them. You've welded on them. That makes a huge difference.
Plus, being 6'2" doesn't hurt.
Right.
What do you mean you're upset? Oh, really? I'm sorry. I'll be over here.
Oh, yeah?
what's been the most rewarding? Besides winning, that's a given.
Man, that's a hard one. Besides winning, besides winning.
I mean, we all came here to win.
Right.
Right. But, yeah.
Just the whole accomplishment of the team itself. Perfect. Not even just the win, but, like, to watch them come off of turn 4 at Daytona 3 wide. Before right. We even won the race, it's yeah. Like, I'm good.
I'm yeah. Good. I'll yeah. Do what you gotta do all over here.
Right. I'll put this in your head. How about the fact that you did all this yourself, right? You didn't have a whole lot of help. You know, it sounds like after your racing career and after your stuff was done in Pennsylvania, you made some calls, you beat some door downs,
yeah.
and now here you are.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that to me is, you know, we hear about people, there's people that, you know, oh, well, my uncle was so-and-so. And you're like, oh, okay, well, now I know why you're here.
Yeah.
And you can't weld and right. Cut your finger off. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's like you welded your fingers together.
Right, or you tried anyway.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But you know what I mean? You've done this on your own.
I've been proud every place I've went has been successful. And I know it's right. Not because of me, because racing isn't team
sport.
No,
it is. But
I feel that I have
you added to it.
Yes. Yeah. And I even said that at Penske, you know, I said it to Travis Geisler one time about Penske, like, you know, I know for there's 400 people there, but I still feel like I made an impact in the little of the
right.
Next way.
You did something good.
Yeah.
Right.
And that impact is bigger at a smaller team because it stands out more to you anyway. But again, it's still yeah. All about the team. It's not going to happen unless everybody's working together.
Joanne Cressley says hi.
My godmother.
Golly, your godmother. Yeah. There you go. Andrew Hardy. Hey, Jason.
he's the 11th Jason.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Yeah, big fan. I love that. Yeah. You know, you're some of your buddies are out there with their yeah. Marks like that.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna wrap it up here, but I just want to say to you, it's the first time I met you.
Yeah.
I've known you, of you. You know, you hear your name, you follow. Congratulations on everything you've done.
Yeah, man.
And thanks for coming on here right after winning. That's pretty cool on
yeah.
That. And there goes the Martinsville Classic. You helped win.
So just so you know, I tried to get you the week before, and
it worked out
great. We couldn't get you. You were busy, and things happened, right? And then you kind of committed to this.
Yeah.
And, you know, there have been a couple of other people that have won because they committed to coming out.
Briscoe,
or won after.
If
you win after, no.
That's good for us because Briscoe comes on.
Then bring me a 12-pack.
Just a 12-pack? He's letting me out busy. Okay? But continue success. And
yeah, man.
You got the regular season. Go get the whole enchilada. Don't
you? Well,
what?
I would like the enchilada too, but I'm still racing against the guy.
He's our guest right now.
I know he is.
You know
I mean. I'm wishing him luck.
Okay, it's good. I get it.
But, you know,
I get it.
You can have the salsa and the chips. I'll have the enchilada.
It's perfect. All right. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate
second place.
It. Website, merchandise,
all that.
YouTube channel. Should we say goodnight, Dick?
Goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick. Have a safe one, everybody. Appreciate you.
Wow, hey, another great show.
Great
Thank
show.
You so much, everybody,
yep.
For tuning
Enjoy
in.
It.
We appreciate it. We do this every Tuesday night, and Warren, I think the guests we've had have been fantastic.
Phenomenal.
And the people that are following us, we appreciate it. We're reaching 42,000 people a month. Can you believe that? And we appreciate you watching.
Right.
And
we're having fun. Hope everybody else enjoys it.
That's it. And this is just a fun show, bucket of beer, guys sitting around talking about it. So keep tuning in. We appreciate it. Check out our store and everything. But we appreciate you people, and we will see you next week, right, my friend?
Yes, sir.
All right. See you next week.